Today's scripture reading is taken from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 12. Verse 4, as you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone, brothers and sisters in Christ, and friends. We have come to the end of the sermon and Bible study series on spiritual gifts. I hope everyone is encouraged through the sermon and the Bible study series on spiritual gifts. In previous weeks, we have learned that God is the source of all spiritual gifts. Each gift that we have is given by grace. Although there is diversity of gifts, we are called to serve in love and unity as we are part of the community of faith. We are part of Christ's one body. Hence, spiritual gifts are meant to be used in orderly manner to build up the body. We are to exercise gifts in humility and love, and serve one another. We who are redeemed by Christ are called to put off our sinful self and to put on a new self and continue to exercise spiritual gifts to build the community of faith. God has called each of us to live for God, and we are to adopt a posture of prayerfulness, to have a response of love, and to live a life of service using God's gifts as faithful stewards. Today we shall conclude the sermon and Bible series on spiritual gifts that we, the body of Christ, the church, the spiritual house, his chosen people, know that God takes delight in building us together in Christ. He has given us different gifts, and he lovingly uses our hands and feet in building up of his church. So come, let us go to God in prayer as we prepare our hearts for the sharing of his word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and ask of you to grant us a listening heart to hear your word this morning. We pray that our hearts and minds be focused on you. May your Spirit guide me in delivering your word and ministering to your people in today's sharing. This we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I begin, there's a slight change in the sermon outline. Each bullet point is built to bond, built to praise, built to glorify, just change to a past tense, a simple past, built. Okay? Well, which is the greatest or the most impressive building in the world? Actually, there are many. Here we have the Burj Khalifa in Dubai, in the United Arab Emirates. The Burj Khalifa is the world's tallest building, stands at 828.9 meters high. It has 160 floors in the building. Well, it's designed by this person called Adrian Smith from an American architectural and engineering firm. Construction began in 2004 and completed in 2010. Next, we have Taipei 101. It is a famous icon for Taipei. It stands at 508 meters high. It stands out with unusual Chinese architectural shape. An icon for Taipei, and it attracts a lot of tourists and locals, especially with fireworks that were set off from the roof on every New Year's Eve. Spectacular. Construction began in 1999 and completed in 2004. Next, we have the Parliament Building in Budapest, Hungary. The building has different architectural design styles from neo-Gothic, neo-Baroque to neo-Renaissance, a design which takes its inspiration from London's House of Parliament. It's the country's largest building and Budapest's tallest building. It is the third largest parliament building in the world. Magnificent. Construction started in 1885 and completed in 1902. It took 17 years. So these are some of the many magnificent and impressive, next slide, buildings in the world. Building projects of these magnificent and impressive buildings were built by human hands. They were built to impress and to wow people for their own self-glory. However, the building project of a church is not built by human hands, but is built by the Lord Himself. It is built for God's glory and not for man's glory. God's building project is the church, the body of Christ, God's family, the spiritual house. God is the builder. So as a builder, God has chosen us, made and shaped us. God builds His church for her transformation so that they will grow in their relationship with God and with fellow believers. They are built to bond with God and with fellow believers. They are built together to praise and glorify God. In the closing part of 1 Peter chapter 1, we see Peter encouraging believers to live out their Christian lives and in the midst of trials and temptation. He tells them to be holy because the one who called them is holy. Peter reminds them that they have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and they can believe and put their faith and hope in God. They are born again with their new lives, and with that, they ought to love one another with the love that Christ has given them. They are to put away their old self and put on the new self, and continue to crave for spiritual milk so that they can constantly grow in their relationship with Him. So we continue today from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, where we see through Peter's message that God, a God of relationship, brings us into a loving relationship with Him and with a community of believers where He will continue to build us up. Peter compares our growing to that of a building. We are little stones that are built to bond, built to commune. As precious stones, we are built to bond with God, to commune with God and one another because of Jesus Christ. Verse 4 says, as you come to him, a living stone rejected by man, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, is a continuation of our response as people who have heard the good news. And the response is we are to continue to come to Jesus, the living stone. The Greek tense form for the phrase come to him is in present participle. That means it is a continuous, unceasing action, implying that you continue to do something, a certain result will follow. That means our ongoing relationship with Christ is one that is living and real. It is a living relationship because he is a living God. So we come to him, something will take place in this living relationship we have with Christ. Verse 5 continues, which says, you yourself, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Building consists of stones. Each stone contributes to the building project. Peter says that we, the believers, are stones, and together as a church, we are being built into the spiritual house, the temple of God, the body of Christ, the church. When someone comes to Jesus, the living stone, Christ brings the person into a spiritual building program. So you and I are built into the spiritual house of God. As his people enters a relationship with him, bond, commune with him, he builds them into his spiritual house, into a community of fellowship, of fellow believers forming his church. So as you come, you are not just entering the physical house of God, you are entering a relationship with God, and he's building you up with fellow believers. So we are designed to fit together into this building that Jesus is constructing. This building up to bond with God and with one another can also be seen in subsequent chapters of Peter's letter, where we see Peter encouraging his readers about their living relationship with Christ, the relationship with between slaves and masters, relationship between husband and wives, relationship with fellow brothers and sisters, relationship between elders of the church and their flock, and also their relationship with those who have yet to come to know the Lord. So as his church, the spiritual house, each living stones, together with other believers, we function as a holy priesthood offering spiritual sacrifices. When in the past, only a special group of people, or priests, through their preparing themselves in a ceremonial cleansing, can offer up sacrifices and burnt offerings to God. On behalf of God's people, we now actually have direct access to God. We can now offer spiritual sacrifices to God through Jesus Christ. Next slide. What are spiritual sacrifices? The Old Testament speaks of spiritual sacrifices of prayer, thanksgiving, praise, and repentance. The New Testament goes even further by identifying spiritual sacrifices as giving of ourselves to God through serving Him by our gifts, our time, our love, and service to others. So then Peter brings his readers back to the Old Testament. In verse 6 it says, "For it stands in Scripture, behold, I'm laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious. And whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." Verse 7 says, "So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that believers rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do." Peter quotes scripture from the Old Testament, showing that the living stone is not from his own imagination or imagery, but it has been foretold by the prophets long ago. People will respond to this living stone differently. They will either believe in Jesus or reject in him. Isaiah chapter 28 verse 16 says, it tells us of Jesus being chosen as the precious cornerstone placed by God in Zion, and that those who believe in him will never be put to shame. Psalm 118 verse 22 and Isaiah chapter 8 verse 14 tell us that a stone was rejected by the builders has become the cornerstone of the building. It has also become a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. We see here that Jesus is being referred as the cornerstone of a building. So what is a cornerstone? Next slide. A cornerstone is an important stone of a building, as it is laid at a corner to bind two walls together and to strengthen them. It acts as a foundation of which the other stones are placed to build a building. So can we imagine a shaky foundation of a building? You can, right? Well, here's a picture of a three-story building in India which collapsed due to a foundation failure. The foundation of the building failed, so it sent the structure into a canal. This happened in June 13, 2020. So, next slide. Here, a building foundation is important, crucial, and precious. The church foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, our Lord. For those who believe, this cornerstone becomes precious to them. They find their security and hope in Jesus. For those who stumble and fall, it is because they have heard the message but have chosen to disobey rather than to obey. They chose to hold on to their own lives rather than surrendering their lives in Christ. Peter's message here serves as an encouragement as well as a warning. As an encouragement to those who have turned to Christ, because we are part of a group of fellow believers who have turned from the old ways and are now part of Christ's spiritual house, spiritual building, the church, the community of believers. As we grow in Christ, the desire to offer up our spiritual sacrifices to God in response to his love, because it becomes part of us, okay? This is part of his building process in our lives to make us holy so that we can offer all that we have to him. Peter's message is also a warning to us who believe in him that we must be prepared to be rejected by people who have rejected him and his message of salvation. This will result in us suffering unjustly from him, as we'll see later. It is also a warning to those who have heard the message but have chosen to disobey, you will stumble and fall if you keep your ways. So as God's people, we have turned from our old ways and are part of Christ's spiritual house. We are built to praise Him together as a community of faith. So let's go on to verse 9 and 10. We are built to praise God. In verse 9 it says, "But you are chosen people, a royal nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Verse 10 says, "Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. These two verses tell us how precious we are to God, how precious we are in God's eyes. We are His chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, people of God. If you're discouraged with all that you're facing as Christian, these two verses will encourage us and remind us of the value that God has placed on you, each and every one of us. A chosen people tell us of God's initiative in bringing us to Himself and in allowing us to be part of His church. A royal priesthood reminds us as believers we have a royal position in serving our Lord. As His holy nation, we belong to His church, the spiritual house, and each of us, each living stone, as individual believers, have a valuable contribution to this church. The phrases, a chosen people, God's special possession, a people of God, speak about God's ownership of all of us as His people. So throughout history, He has claimed His own people as His special possession. We were once nobody, but now we are God's special possession. That speaks a lot, right? Peter's repeated use of the term people highlights that as believer, we may be an ordinary person, but we acquire a new value. We become people of great value in God's eyes because we belong to Him. We are His special possession. We have become His people not because of anything that we have done or earn, but all this because of His great love and mercy for each of us. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Here is another reminder that God's mercy bring forgiveness and hope of eternal life has come to His people. Now that we have become God's people and experience His mercy, now that He has brought us from out of the darkness into the light, our heart's response will be to declare His praises and testify His goodness. So what does declare His praises mean? To declare His praises means to tell, to share, to proclaim, and to shout all that He has done so that others can hear about His goodness. As excited as we are to live out our new lives and share His work in our lives, with people around us, we need to be mindful of how we live out our lives. We are built to glorify Him. So let's look at verse 11 to verse 12. In verse 11, it says, "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from passions of the flesh which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation." As we have read from chapter 1, Peter's audience were Christians living all over as sojourners, as foreigners, as exile, away from their home country, their own country. So most of them would have been there for many years, and the social culture, practices, and beliefs would have somewhat influenced their thinking and life. So Peter reminds them to abstain from sinful desire, which wage against their soul. These are worldly pleasures, or temptation that they have to fight every day, that goes against what they ought to do as God's chosen people. So Peter also encourages them to live out their Christian lives well among the Gentiles, that is the unbeliever. Christians then suffered as they were usually accused of not worshipping the emperor, Caesar, resulting them in being put in the prison or losing their life. They were accused of hurting the economy of the city when they refused to do shady businesses. Yet, despite all this, Peter reminds them to stand firm, to continue and persevere to do good deeds, to glorify God, so that those who do not believe may turn to Christ, and in so doing, glorify God as well. In closing, I want to tell you a story as Living Stones in PSPC. A builder decided to build a church. To ensure strength and durability, the builder carefully selected stone exactly the same size, shape and color. They were put in place with pride and confidence. But when the wind blew and the storm rose, the church building collapsed and was destroyed. Another builder constructed a church as well. Stones of different sizes, shapes, and colors were gathered. Can I have the next slide? How could such a church survive the storm? It survived because strong cement was mixed and applied between the stones when the stones were carefully placed one by one. When the wind blew and the storm came, the church stood firm. Such is the power of Christ's love that holds His church together. We are reminded that today that we are God's chosen people. God has placed us as living stones in His spiritual house. The church, the spiritual house. The foundation stone in PSPC Sanctuary was laid in 1930 by Sir Song Ong Siang. The placing of the foundation stone reminds us that Jesus is the church's church foundation. And He continues to build us up in our faith as we learn from His word. Next slide. God enables us to encourage each other as a body of Christ as we meet, so that His love is shared and experienced by others. As we do this, we are built up individually and as a community. He then prepares us as we go out to meet the world, empowering us to lift out our Christian witness so that others may see his work of grace in our life. For all of us this morning, how do we, as Principians, his chosen people, his spiritual house, Christ's body, the community of faith, the church, respond to the message today? You and I are the living stone, are the little living stones. God takes delight in building you together in Christ. He has given each different gifts, and he lovingly uses your hands and feet in the building up of his church. As you come, as we come, let us come humbly and ask the Lord to have his way in us. As you come, as we come asking him to work in and through our lives, and let him lead us in the things he wants to see and do in us, especially as a body of Christ, the community of faith, the spiritual house. What is God saying to you, especially as we conclude the sermon and Bible study series on spiritual gifts? What are the gifts? Next slide. What are the gifts, talents that God has given to you to serve one another in church, the spiritual house, the community of faith? Perhaps it is using whatever small gifts that you have to serve him. It could be serving, it could be helping out with the breakfast team, preparing and cleaning up on Sunday, or giving up some time on Friday or to spend time with the boys' brigade. Perhaps it could be serving in a generation ministry, like Sunday school, lighthouse, the yacht, building the next generation for God. Or perhaps joining the ladies' ministry, men's ministry, the senior ministry. The list goes on. So let's discover and explore the ministry that you can build together in the family of God, in a spiritual house, and use the gifts in building together in Christ, in the house of God. So as little stones in Princep, may God, who is a God of relationship, bring us into loving relationship with him and also with the community of believers, where he will continue to build us up. We are living stones built to bond, commune with God and with fellow believers, built to praise and glorify him in our lives, especially to live a life of service using the spiritual gift that he has given to each and every one of us. We are not individual stones building the church on our own. We are living stones serving together as a spiritual house, using the gifts not to glorify ourselves, but to glorify God. May we together, as a community of faith, as a spiritual house, continue to be built together in Christ so that we may grow and be like Jesus. May God use us in different ways as he gently leads us to serve him and serve others. May he do all these things so that we will declare his praise and his name be glorified. You see, no matter how grand, how magnificent, how impressive the physical buildings are, it cannot be more impressive than God's building, his spiritual house, God's church. The church is impressive not by the physical building, but by the redemptive work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the church is at rest on the one foundation, which is her Lord Jesus Christ, that together as a church, living stones, built commune with God and believers, and together in unison to praise and glorify his name. Amen.